measured out my days. Life carried me along. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to end where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. The battles I would face, forever running but losing the race. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, offered to the friend who took my place and ran the course I could not start. And when he saw
Thank you, Hannah. All right, we're in our family nights. We're talking about the family. We're looking from many different angles. Why don't you start turning your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. I want to mention a couple of things. Of course, our youth conference starts tomorrow night. And so I encourage you, as you always do, we'll have many churches here, some from out of state. And so I encourage you, be a blessing. Be here and encourage and help those that are here. If you see anybody walking around, they don't know where everything is, particularly the first night. And so we want to be a help to them. And then I encourage you to be here to the evening services. Of course, we will not have Thursday Bible study. Wednesday night, the last night of our youth conference, will be our Thursday Bible study. Fact of the matter is, all the preaching is good. So I encourage you. This is kind of our, not just our youth conference / revival meeting for our church. And so I encourage you very strongly, be here for as many services as you can. And then I always mention this, it's true, I enjoy our fellowships that we have on Friday night. We have different adult classes in every Friday night through the summer at our house. And so we had a good time. I got to tell you this, my wife, she was at Trader Joe's on Thursday, and she was in line to pay, and she saw somebody, and they were talking about this melon drink. And my wife, she likes fruit, so she's like, oh, yeah. She goes, that looks good. Where'd you get that? I'm like, oh, yeah, they're selling the melon. It's right over there. So real quick, she ran out of line. She got herself a six-pack of this melon drink, and she brought it home. And the girl saw it and said, Mom, that's beer. She didn't know that if it says hard melon, that's what it is. Say, well, what'd you guys do with it? Brother Joseph's Cross Point class was there on Friday. They drank it. So this week is Brother Pineda's class. They're wondering, what do you got for us? By the way, if you saw my wife back at Trader Joe's with that in her hand, she was getting her money back, all right? She was not there buying any. She's a farm girl, and sometimes, you know, she's a little different there. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, let's all stand together. I know what you're saying. Say, man, if I'd known you were going to have that, I would have came to the fellowship, right? All right, so this week it's New Life and Cross and Cornerstone, so we're going to have a great time. If you've not been with us, I encourage you, when your class comes, come. And if you didn't get to come with your class, you're more than welcome if you would to come to one of the other ones. We'd love to have you. Genesis chapter 3. We're going to do something a little different tonight. We've been talking about, we talked about the husband-wife relationship, the importance of that the first week. And then the second week, last week we looked at the man, the importance of the man. Today we're just going to get some tips. We're going to look at some couples from the Bible, and we're going to see some tips we can get from them about marriage. And then next week we'll start talking about family. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, we'll read down to verse 17. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. So that's not a good excuse, by the way, okay? The woman who thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We pray, Lord, tonight as we look at a few scriptures and we share a few principles about marriage, that you would help us to have the families and the marriages that you would want us to have. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're in our series. We're calling it A Family Portrait, What a Christian Family Looks Like. And we've mentioned what we've looked at over the course of the first few weeks. But this week, we're going to look at marriage again. You have to get the foundation right if you're going to have the right kind of family. And the foundation of course, other than the Lord is the ultimate foundation, but in a relationship sense, the ultimate foundation is the marriage relationship, and the ultimate responsibility, I think, biblically speaking, is to have the right kind of husband, the right kind of man leading the family. And so that's what we've talked about. We're going to look at some Bible characters tonight and some principles we learned from their life. Bible characters are very good. They were people just like us. And they had strengths, but they also had weaknesses. And so we can look at what they did, and if they did something right, we can use that. And even if they did something wrong, we can learn from it. Somebody has said the best example you can learn from is from somebody else. Learn from their mistakes. Do not learn from your mistakes, if at all possible. Not saying if you have a mistake, you shouldn't learn from it. You should. But it's best to learn from the mistakes of others. And so here, first, we're going to look at Adam and Eve. And I want to point out this principle to you. If you are married, what you do doesn't just affect you. It affects your spouse also. That's the point. We see that here with Adam and Eve. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." If you know the story, it all started with Eve. And Satan got to Eve, and I'm not blaming her, okay, so don't listen, it's not. But Satan got to Eve, and he confused her about God's word and God's will, and she fell for his lie, and she took of the fruit. And then the Bible says, after she took of the fruit, she gave to her husband, and he ate also. The verses we read, it says, it said of Adam that he hearkened unto the voice of his wife. That's why he ate it. And then as we get down, we see the different consequences of their action that came. By the way, consequences that have filtered down to you and I today. But the point is, her actions and then his actions in following her, they affect each other. You see, when you got married, you are no longer one person. You're two. And everything that you do doesn't just affect you, it affects your spouse. And if you have children, it affects your children. The foundational relationship here is the husband and wife. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That's not just talking about the physical relationship of a marriage. They're one in everything, okay? Tells us right off the bat in Genesis, speaking of marriage. Jesus also reiterated in Matthew chapter 19, verse 4, "And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Now, I will stop here for a second just so we understand this. In the context of marriage, the very first thing he mentioned, it's like, well, why would he mention it? It's a no-brainer. He mentions God made them male and female. There is nothing else in between. And by the way, marriage is that. It's a union between a man and a woman. Okay? That's not controversial. It's common sense. And so Jesus mentions that. Then he says in verse 5, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God therefore hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And by the way, I'll just throw this out since we're here. There's this new thing coming along where people call themselves gay Christians. By the way, Christian Mingle, which I would never have went on in the first place. Well, I'm married, but I wouldn't have went anyhow. They now are going to have a section for gay men to reach each other and gay women to reach each other. Okay? And this whole thing, gay Christian. Can I just tell you something? First of all, we're not allowed to identify ourselves as any type of Christian other than Christian. Does that mean if you're an adulterer, you can identify yourself as an adulterous Christian? If you're a crook, you're a thieving Christian? Don't take a sin and add it before Christian and add it on there. We're Christian. And don't, well, you know, I identify as this, you know. I'm a murdering Christian. I'm a Raider fan Christian. Don't add your sin in front of it. Okay? It's not where we're going. But anyhow, that was free. But Jesus is talking here, and he said the same thing. Marriage is one man and one woman, and they become one. Paul mentions in his epistle, of course, the prototypical verses on marriage and in the relationship and responsibilities of marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 35, in quoting Jesus and also quoting Genesis, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." See, there's a union in marriage, okay? You get married and then you leave. That home you used to be a part of, which was mom and dad, and then you were the child. You're still their child, but you're no longer in that family unit in that sense. You leave, and you're creating a new family unit, your family. Then you cleave to each other. You're there for good. You're together. You stick together through thick and thin. What does that mean? She gets a little thicker, and your hair gets a little thinner. That's what that means. Good and bad, you're together. By the way, we give up on our marriages way too easy. We do. And by the way, it's worth the effort. If you'll both just get together, if you're struggling, and by the way, you're here in church and you're struggling, listen, with God's help, you can get through this thing. God makes this thing like it's a bad thing. It's a good thing. But we need to work on it. But then he says, you're one flesh, and someone has said, you weave together. Your lives are intertwined. That's the whole point I'm making here. We have a very selfish and a very narcissistic society we live in. By the way, that means we all fight it. So when I say that, you say, what are you harping on us? No, because Brother Machado, you're selfish too. I'm selfish. That's our nature. And so if we're not careful, we bring that into our marriage and we see everything about the relationship solely from us. And then we think we can just be two people. Look, a marriage is, look at, marriage is not just two people sharing an apartment. Okay? It's a relationship. We talk about intimacy, and we talk about intimacy in marriage. People think only about the physical aspect of marriage. No, that's an intimate aspect of marriage because that's only something a husband and wife can share with each other. But the whole relationship is to be intimate. Your relationship, the just being together and sharing things with each other that you wouldn't share with somebody else. But what happens is what you do affects the other. Now, I hope and I pray and I do steps to make sure it doesn't happen, but I'm not going to get up here in pride. I never cheat on my wife. There are so many reasons I wouldn't do that. The first reason I wouldn't do it is because I think of what Joseph said when Potiphar's wife tried to get him. How can I do this wickedness against God? I wouldn't do it because I love God and I don't want to hurt God. But if I didn't have that, I wouldn't do it because I couldn't fathom hurting my wife that way. And if I have children, I couldn't fathom hurting my children like that. That's a very selfish decision. Whether you're a man that does it or a woman that does it. It's a selfish decision. Well, you know what? Things weren't going well, and this was just about me. It's not just about you. It's about your spouse also, and it's about your children. Don't be selfish. That's how we are. Everything we do affects our spouse. We talked about money this morning. How we handle money affects our spouse. By the way, you should never sneak behind your spouse's back. We do that sometimes. Well, we don't. People do that sometimes. Well, I'm not going to tell them because this is mine. Dude, listen, by the way, your money should be one also. Let me throw that out there one more time. Your money should be one also. You're not roommates anymore. Okay, it's not like you're some guy and you have a roommate who's a guy and here's his part of the bills. Here's my part of the bills. You are one. And everything you should do. Well, you know, she works and she gives and this is her portion of the bills. Really? That's both of your bills. Work together at that thing. You should be one in every. And so what we do affects. You have bad relationships and you're with your family and this. You know, that affects them also. I'm just saying, we need to quit looking at life solely from how it affects me. You say, well, that's hard. Then you shouldn't have got married in the first place. But if you are married, deal with it. We want, you know, our society, we want the perks of something without the responsibility. Oh, yeah, it just seems like it'd be a good thing to get married. Amen. It is a good thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. But there's responsibility with it. And so work together on that thing. Always look at it. Say, you know what? What I do is going to affect my spouse. Don't hurt them. Look at those children. And by the way, men, as we talked about you last week, why do we just accept it in our society that men can just be irresponsible? I don't accept that. Just because you can biologically make a child doesn't make you a good father or make you a good dad. You need to accept that responsibility. Well, you know, my wife does that thing, and I just kind of do my own thing with my buddies. Grow up. You didn't marry your buddies. We got on you last week, so that's all right. But let me say this before we move on to the next one. That means singles. If you're not married, you're single. Okay? Marry right. Marry right. You know, there's people here that got married. So I think I married the wrong one. How do I know? I'm like, here's how you know if you married the right one. You ready? Look at your ring finger. Do you have a ring on? Yes. You married the right one. How do I know my wife's the right one for me? I said I do. Therefore, in God's eyes, she is. That didn't go over very well. Okay. Number two. Turn to Genesis chapter 16. We'll read a few verses here. We're going to look at Abraham and Sarah. Genesis chapter 16, a few verses ahead there. Verse number 1. Says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, their names weren't changed yet, bare him no children. They didn't have children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. So they didn't have children. Of course, God had promised Abraham, you know, one day he's going to have this heir, but they don't have children. She wants to have a child, and she can't. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. So here's what she's saying. She says, you know what? We don't have children. We're supposed to have a child. I can't have a child. We got to help God out with this whole thing. And so look at Sarai. Look at Hagar, a maid they brought back from Egypt, which they shouldn't have. Says, you're going to marry her, and you're going to have a child with her, and that'll be our child. And he probably looked at her, and if she was probably good looking, said, okay, I'm in. And so he goes, and they have a child together. Let's see how that turns out. Verse 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Trouble starting right off the bat. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. Okay, you're going to hear this one. So here's the thing. And by the way, polygamy was not right, but, you know, back in the Bible days, it was a lot of it going on. And so they have a baby, and as soon as they have the baby, Hagar says, Sarah's not as important to her anymore because, after all, I can have a child and she can't. And it starts conflict. And so Sarah comes to Abraham and says, you know what? That's my fault, but it's your fault for listening to me. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice, ladies? You want your husband to be the leader, and when he listens to you, it doesn't go wrong. It's like, shouldn't listen to me. What's wrong with you? Okay? What's the principle? Be careful about pushing your spouse into a bad decision. By the way, that happens a lot. A lot. They want something. One of the spouses has some type of, in their mind, they know it's just not right. They know it's not the best thing, but the other one pushes and pushes and pushes and pushes, and then you do it, and it doesn't work out. Now, who's the husband? We understand the husband's the leader of the home. But by the way, and I've said this, God tells me to do something. If it's a big move or something huge, I'm talking to my wife about it. Because I just have a sneaking suspicion, if God spoke to me about it, that he would probably speak to her about it. And we've done it. We're in college, and it's like, you know what? I think God wants us to go down to Florida and help start a church. We're going to sell everything. We're going to just up and move. You know, we're young, and I'm not very bright. And she's like, okay, let's do it. Now, if she would have had warnings, like, I just don't feel like this is right, I would have thought about that a little bit. We just up and moved. Now, my wife's that type, you know, it's like if I told her, you know, I think God wants us to go to the northern end of Alaska and reach Eskimos, she'd probably say, let's go. Where are we going to buy some jacket? That's just her. But spouses sometimes push each other into bad decisions. You know, ladies, you just, you know, I want this, and your husband has some warnings, whether it's something with the children or something there, and he thinks it's, and you just push and push. Be very careful about that. Now, man, I'm going to tell you, stand up to her, but be very careful about it. You know, because your husband loves you. He doesn't want to fight with you. He wants to please you and all those things. And sometimes you can push him into a bad decision. Be very careful about that. And men, you do the same thing. Oh, you know what, sweetheart? I'm the man of the house. God told me. Now, if you have to tell your wife you're the man of the house, you're probably not. I mentioned last week, I tell my boys, I say, oh, come on, Dad, we're getting older. I'm a man now. I'm like, if you have to tell me you're a man, odds are you're not. But we push. Listen, you need to be on the same page. Now, ladies, don't fight. Sometimes I'm not giving you carte blanche to fight yourself on something that's you know is right. But I'm just saying, sometimes there's bad decisions. Hey, let's buy this. You can't afford it. It is going to stretch your budget to the max and then some, and it's just a bad move. And yet we push and we push and we push. You both, as I just mentioned in point one, you both end up paying the consequences. But we push. We manipulate. Reminds me, I was listening to a message a while ago from Brother Treiber. And he was given this point. He said, you know what? He's built all kinds of buildings. And he said he's went to the city council before. And one time he was thinking about building a building. And he said, you know, I'm not 100% for sure if God wants us to do this. He told the city council. He goes, I'm not 100% clear about this. He goes, so I'm going to put it in your hands. You vote on it. If you vote it down, I'm not that clear on it. I won't do it. And they voted it down. And he said, you know, I'm not going to fight you on it because I'm not as clear on it. Now, he said another time he went to the city council. He goes, now, let me just tell you something. I am 100% clear this is what God wants, and I'm just admonishing you, don't you dare vote this down. God wants this done, and I'm just telling you, don't vote this down. Okay. That's the point there. Sometimes we're not clear about things, we want to push our way in. And maybe our spouse is making some good points. By the way, that's another reason you ought to run it by your spouse, because maybe you don't see everything. Maybe you're missing something very vital that they'll say, did you think about this? See? So be very, very careful. You can push into a bad decision, which both of you are going to end up paying the price for the decision. And by the way, that decision with Hagar had some very serious consequences to this day. Abraham just, you know, okay, yeah. Sarah knew it. You should have just stood up to me. Now, if he stood up to her, she would have threw a fit. But still, let's work together. Genesis chapter 25. We're going to look at Isaac and Rebekah here for a minute. Genesis chapter 25. Verse number 21. It says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, prayed really for her, interceded for her. Because she was barren. She couldn't have children. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. She had a child. 2. The children struggled within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord. The Lord said unto her, 2 nations are in thy womb. Okay? So she has twins. And 2 manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. They're completely different. The one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out all red, all over, like a hairy garment. That was Esau. They called his name Esau. And after him came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. He was holding on to his brother's heel there as he's coming out. And his name was Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Now this is, to me, sad. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that relationship specifically. The marriage relationship between the two for a while was really good. He was the only one that just married one. All the others were marrying two, but it says when he saw Rebekah, immediately he loved her, and they had the one relationship there. But as things got older, what happened is they let the children in their later years divide them. You see, Esau was what we would call a man's man. I mean, who wouldn't like that, right? I mean, by the way, as we meant, don't sissify your little boys. Let them be men. Every time your little boy falls down and gets a little boo-boo and he runs to mommy, don't sissify that kid. I like that about Ryan with Jason. You know, the kid will, that kid will do all kinds, you have to keep your eyes on him. But he got stuck, he's in the house and he was messing around, he got stuck in something, you know, and he started to like, eh. He wasn't crying, but he was like, ah. And Ryan's like, Jason, just pull yourself out. And after a few seconds, he figured out, oh, you know, you do this, you pull your arm out, I'm good. Run over there right away, you know. He wasn't in any life-threatening situation. But Esau was a man's man. I mean, he was hairy as a baby. That, I don't know, maybe he had to shave, you know, like pull the kid out, change his diaper, shave him. He's ready to go. And he was a hunter. And said Isaac loved him, sadly, because of what he did for him. But he said he loved him because he ate of his venison. The guy would hunt and get it and cook it and bring it in. And dad's all over that. Yeah, that's my guy. But Rebekah, she liked Jacob. And Jacob, you know, he just liked to hang out at home. Now, before we go too far, Jacob was, you know, we think, oh, Jacob was a sissy. No, look at some of the things he did later on. Now, he had some issues, but you know, he fought an angel all night, and so he had some manly, but he wasn't like Esau. And mom liked that. He's just a little softer, you know? And so mom had her favorite, and Isaac had his favorite. By the way, that wasn't good for them, and that wasn't good for the boys. What did Rebekah say towards the end there? You know, she was fearful of her life because of who Esau was going to marry. You see, that's the point. Sometimes as parents, we let the children cause trouble in the relationship in the family. You see, when you got married, you didn't marry the child, you married the guy. You married the girl. And the foundational relationship is husband and wife. And by the way, children are a tremendous blessing. I love children. I have a whole bunch of them. And now we're collecting grandchildren. We got all kinds of them too. And I love them to pieces. All of them. But you know what? We made a conscious decision early on. Those kids are not going to come between us. Our relationship was before. And sometimes, ladies, you need to be very careful about this. You put that little child, and you're putting it ahead of your husband. By the way, the children should not sleep in the room with you. Okay? They'll survive in the other room. But they cry. They won't do that for long. It's all about what you train them to do. They're okay sleeping in another room. Okay? Listen, there is nothing romantic about having that little brat that you love dearly in between you. And by the way, it's just better for you anyhow. Do you know sometimes there's some off-the-wall smells emanating? You know, I got stuck yesterday. I think that's a bad word. The girls were all out doing something yesterday, and Steven was out playing basketball, and something happened, and I got stuck at the house alone with Ellie, which is fine. Except I realized she's still in diapers. And so she came and sat next to me, and I'm like, this is not good. And, you know, I change my own children's diaper every now and then, but I feel no obligation to change my grandchildren. But there was nobody there, and they weren't coming back for a couple hours, and it's like, it was bad. And so I'm like, go. She was old enough. I said, go get a diaper, and they know where it is. And she got the diaper and the wipes. So I was like, and it was bad when I pulled her dress up, and I'm like, it was really yellow in the front. And that was the best part of the diaper. I don't know what she was eating, but it did not agree with her. And, you know, so I had to change her, and it got all over her dress. And I'm like, we'll just get rid of the dress. We'll do all that stuff. And look, I love the kids. I do. But I kind of love my wife a little bit more. I don't have to change her diaper, amen? But I'm pretty sure 20 years from now, she'll be changing mine. Look, it took Ryan like 5 minutes to get that. Did you see that? He's laughing at the joke from 20 minutes ago. Thank you, Ryan, for catching up. Listen, don't look. By the way, you cannot have favorites. You can't. Those are all your children. By the way, they're all different, right? You know it. And sometimes some of the children are different in a sense where that one's a little more like I am. And you kind of connect on that level. But that's okay. You can't have faith. And the kids, and by the way, as they get older, do not let them divide you. If you come and ask me and I tell you no, don't go ask your mom, because I will cloud up and rain. We're not doing that. But you got to keep that marriage relationship. So many people let their children and they just let them worm their way. And not that the children are bad, they're just being children. By the way, the healthiest thing for your child is to understand that your marriage relationship is the most important thing. Amen. Deep down in the heart of a child, there's security when they know mom and dad have a good relationship. And if you run your family right, children are uniting and unifying in a marriage. They're not dividing. And so let's make sure that we have the right mentality. They didn't. Let me give you one more here, the last one. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 18. And we'll look at verse 20. It says, as you're getting there, to save time, let me read this. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul. And the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give her him, that she may be a snare to him. Can you imagine that? I don't like David. And there's something wrong with my daughter. I'm going to give her to him to torment him. By the way, I heard a story. Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher, he had a daughter that had some emotional issues. And a gentleman came and asked to marry her. And he said, listen, no, I won't do that to you. There are some people that God's grace can reach, and you don't have the grace to deal with her because she's got some issues. Now, hers were because of some mental deficiencies. He's just saying, yeah, that's a good deal. I can get back at David. He can take her off my hands. And so what happens? That the hand of the Philistines may be upon him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou this day may be my son-in-law, one of the twain. And so they go back and forth, and David didn't want to do it. And finally, he says, well, go kill some Philistines, thinking the Philistines will kill him. And so David does the kills of Philistines, and they get married. But it kind of backfires, because she really loved David. And they did okay for a while. I mean, she was all in, and things were good. But towards the end, if you know the story, things weren't good. What was the problem? Now listen to me very carefully. In-law problem. As much as she loved David, and they went well for a while, I just think that the constant grating, Saul trying to kill, somehow she let that affect her. And towards the end, she despised some of the things David was doing for the Lord. I think it was just too much for them to overcome. Now, by the way, it doesn't have to be that way. Now, they weren't married, but Jonathan, Saul's son, loved David, even though David was, in a sense, cutting him out from being the next king, but he understood God's plan, and even though his dad was against him, he says, I am not going to allow that to ruin my relationship with David. Look, be very, very careful. Do not let your in-laws affect your marriage. Don't do it. As we mentioned in the first one, you leave father and mother, this is your new family. And let me say this to you in-laws, and I'm one too. Do not interfere in your children's marriage. Don't do it. Now, before they're married, do the blood test, do the background check, you know, clean your gun in front of him so he understands what's going on. Okay? But listen, when they're married, you butt out. I love my kids, and I want to be a part of their life. And to be honest with you, the married ones, they're at our house all the time. But I don't intervene in their now they don't have problems that I know of. They don't have problems, but I'm not gonna cause problems in their marriage. Okay? When Allison got married, she became Ryan's, not problem. She became Ryan's blessing. Okay? That is her leader. It's hard because I'm dad. Okay? I told them when they were younger, don't get married till you're 40, and only Jessica listened. Just kidding. She's not 40. I shouldn't have said that. When Allison was going to get married, Emily came up. She was littler. She said, Dad, remember you said Allison said she would never get married till she's 40? She goes, she lied. Listen, that I'm not going to usurp Ryan's authority. Okay, I'm not. And I'm not going to usurp Lauren's authority. Okay, she's not. I would feel horrible to think that I cause conflict in my married children's life. I'm not going to do that. And by the way, you need to be on guard. Don't let your parents, if they don't understand that, don't let them do that. And don't let your other in-laws too, brothers, sisters, trying to worm their way in. Listen, that relationship is vitally important. You can do that. Of course, a couple ways you do that. First of all, make sure you guard your spouse to your family. Guard them. Don't let someone in your family take a pock shot at your spouse. Don't. Now, I am so grateful. My father-in-law, my mother-in-law, I get along with them great. I don't have an ounce of problem with them. I could be with them all the time. And my mom, before she died, if my wife and I would have had a disagreement we brought to my mom, she would have chose her side every single time. She thought my wife walked on water. I tried to tell her she didn't, but she wouldn't listen. Okay? But you know what? I'm not going to go criticize my wife to my mom. I want them to have a good relationship. By the way, my dad, before he died, he thought, I brought her to meet him, and he's like, don't you dare let her get away. He thought she was the greatest thing. Okay, you ought to want that. And so you have to guard that relationship. If someone starts to say something, say, hey, that's not true about them. And then be a cheerleader for them. See, most of the time, all your in-laws know about your spouse is what you say. And so you want to get mad. You want to constantly criticize them to your in-laws, and you wonder why. Listen, if Allison was constantly coming over criticizing Ryan, and I'm sure she could. That was a joke. You know what? And then she wonders why I would want to wring the guy's neck. She wouldn't do that. Okay? Be a cheerleader. Yeah, if you get irritated with them, hold it in. You'll get over that little spat. Okay, be a cheerleader. They're great. And encourage that relationship. Don't let the in-laws ruin your marriage. And let me say this. If they do, they're not the ones that ruined it. You're the ones that ruined it for allowing them to ruin it. Okay? Be on the same page. Let's all stand this evening.